Well, wonderful singing. Good morning, Flat Creek family, and I hope this finds you well wherever you are. Thank you for allowing us to be in your home every single week. It truly is a joy. We love you. We thank God for you. I want to ask you now to find your way to the book of James, the letter of James, chapter 1 in the New Testament. We're going to spend a little bit of time there. As you're finding your way there, I want to tell you about a story that I heard this past week of a lady who was on the highway, and she was going 22 miles an hour, and the deputy turned on his blue lights, and he pulled her over, and he came to the side of her car, said, "Ma'am, do you realize how fast you were going?" She said, "Yes, sir, I was going 22 miles an hour." He said, "You realize that that's a little bit dangerous out here on this highway?" She said, "That's exactly what that sign says right there, 22 miles per hour." She said, ma'am, I need to stop you and tell you that that right there is the highway number. You're on highway 22. She said, oh my. And he looked in the back. The deputy looked in the back of the car, and he saw two frightened elderly ladies. And he said, "Ladies, are you okay back there?" She said, "Yes, sir. We just got off of Highway 121, and they were just scared to death. I think they understood something about stress at that very moment." You know, stress is something that we all walk through, every single one of us. As we've been talking about emotions over these last few weeks, we've talked about worry. We've talked about fear. Today, I want us to talk about stress, something each one of us walk through. Hopefully, you found your way to the book of James. James is a special book in my life. It's a very practical book, as it really talks about how we ought to behave as followers of Christ. In particular, this morning, I think it'll be applicable to our lives to look into this letter of James and deal with the matter of stress. You know, when I realize that I really begin to get stressed is when my gut says no and my mouth says yes. That's when stress is conceived in my life, and I begin to wrestle through that emotion. Well, here we are in the letter of James, and I want you to note from this little book right here, we're looking at the letter of the half-brother of Jesus, and he writes with the simple assumption that we are followers of Jesus. The entire book is built off of this one simple premise. If you say you believe like you should, why are you behaving like you shouldn't? James writes with such vivid imagery. He writes directly. He writes real practically. James knew Christ as only few could. You see, James had eaten around the same table. He shared the same house. He played in the same places. His boyhood privilege was not wasted knowing the Lord Jesus Christ, for he became known as James the Just, as a follower of Jesus with immense devotion. In fact, you see it here beginning in verse 1. Would you look at it with me here? "James, a bondservant, a slave of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ." See, James was a slave of God and to the Lord Jesus Christ. His name was really common, James. An early church historian shared how James once entered the temple. He would go into the temple real early. He would kneel and he would pray for people with such devotion, and he would stay there for such amount of time that his knees became so leathered from being there on his knees, he earned the nickname Old Camel Knees. And this old camel-kneed preacher, the half-brother of Jesus, is writing to, you see it there in verse 1, to the 12 tribes scattered abroad. He's writing to these 12 tribes, these Jewish Christians who were scattered abroad for several reasons. One, poverty, persecution. They've been torn away from their friends in their own country, and they appear to be facing some of the biggest trials and tribulations of their life. They were homesick. They were despised by humanity. They were under the heel of a pagan conqueror. It would have been natural for them to ask this question: "God, where are you? God, where are you in the middle of such temptation, in the middle of such trial?" And I think there are many people who are asking that out of stress today. God, where are you? Assimilate themselves. This is the danger, that they would assimilate themselves into the lives and the behavioral patterns of the land, wherever they were. And that's the danger that you and I face today in these times, that we would assimilate ourselves into conversations, into workplaces, into attitudes, that we would assimilate ourselves into the world. But James contradicts that. James combats that with his words. He gives us three words that I want us to grab a hold of today that I think can take you from stress to being blessed. I truly believe that today, with three simple words that will unlock in your heart freedom. Freedom from stress. James writes with such a pastoral touch as he then turns and says, as a bondservant, as a slave to Christ and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greetings. Listen to this warm touch from Pastor James. My brethren. Greetings, my brethren. And then he continues with saying, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, so that you may be perfect and complete. The first word that I want you to note that can take you from being stressed to blessed is count. Count it all joy. Count, consider, evaluate. Count it all joy. Evaluate it as all joy when you fall into various trials. One version of the New Testament says it in this way: count it yourselves, brethren, supremely happy. I want you right now, I want you to pull out your phone and I want you to consider it joy. Right now, I want you to pull out your phone and I want you to evaluate this very moment as joy. I want you to take that family photo and I want you to post it on our page right now. Right now, I want a picture of your dog and I want the cheesiest big grin of your life and I want a smile and says, we're counting it all as joy, even in the middle of a pandemic, even in the middle of the most stressful situation in our country. And right now, we're going to make the commitment and say, I'm going to evaluate this moment. I'm going to count it as all joy. I mean, how could Pastor James be writing this to people who are persecuted and deep into poverty, and he is writing to them, I want you to count it, evaluate this all with joy. You and I both now are thinking, you pastor wacko, you are absolutely crazy. How can we consider all of this joy? What does James command and count it, evaluate it as all joy really mean? James is commending the conscience to embrace of a Christian understanding of life which brings joy into trials because of our faith in Jesus Christ. You see, he said, consider it joy when you fall into various trials. How many are really hoping for an if right there? Consider it if you come into various trials. It's not what our text says. It says, consider it joy when. And I submit to you, we're in the when right now. When we're in a various, a diverse, a multicolored trial. And James is speaking into this. Our trials certainly look different than what they faced in that day. In that day, they were facing trials and tribulations for the simple thing that you and I take for granted of saying that Jesus is Lord, that there's no one else but Christ and Christ alone. They were confessing with their mouth and believing in their heart that Jesus Christ was the supreme ruler of their life and there was nobody else, and they were persecuted for that. Well, our trials may look a little bit different, but I believe Pastor James is still speaking into our lives today in these multicolored trials. He's speaking into our life in the area of finances. He's speaking into our life in the area of our emotional needs, our physical needs, our marital needs, our vocational needs. He's speaking into the area of the various multicolored trials. It may have been the knock at the door. to simply say that there's been trouble coming your way. It may be the phone call. It may be a visit to the doctor that you recently had. Or it may have been the pink slip that you received on Friday to say that you are no longer needed here at work. That unexpected turn turned your world upside down. Again, I submit to you, it is certainly not something that we've planned for, but it's here. And I just want to press pause right here in this moment and try to share some light into something that's being perpetrated even in our community and our culture right now, that when you place your faith and trust in Christ, everything just becomes perfect at that very moment. I like what one author said, once you become a Christian, it's all honey and no bees, all flowers and no trees. That's simply not true. There's difficult times in our lives. In fact, I cling to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 12. Listen to the word of God from 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 12. All who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. Some of the godliest men in our Bible, some of the godliest people in our Bibles face some of the worst trouble. You think about Job and what Job experienced. He was a blameless and upright man who lost absolutely everything. He lost his finances. He lost family. He lost everything in his life. Even his wife turned against him at a certain point and just said, why don't you curse God and die? Even in the midst, he lost his health. But yet he was faithful to the Lord. In Daniel's life, he was a man who was totally committed to God, who prayed three times a day to the Lord. And all he got for it was a trip to the lion's den. Oh, think about the Apostle Paul just for a moment. Listen to how Paul described some of the things that he went through in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Listen to how Apostle Paul describes his life. Are they servants of Christ? I know I sound like a madman, but I have served him far more. I have worked harder, been put in prison more often, been whipped times without number, and faced death again and again. Five different times the Jewish leaders gave me 39 lashes. Three times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Three times I was shipwrecked. Once I spent a whole night and day adrift at sea. I have traveled on many long journeys. I have faced dangers from rivers and from robbers. I have faced dangers from my own people, the Jews, as well as the Gentiles. I have faced danger in cities and deserts and in the seas. And I have faced danger from men who claim to be believers. And they're not. I have worked hard and long and during many sleepless nights. I've been hungry and thirsty and have gone without food. I have shivered in the cold without enough clothing to keep me warm. The Apostle Paul understood hardship. Daniel understood hardship. Job understood hardship. But what about the Lord Jesus Christ? What about the God-man, the Lord Jesus Christ, who counted it all joy going to a bloody cross for you and for me? And at that cross, he is not a cheerleader in that very moment. He's sweating great drops of blood, and yet he says it is joyful. Listen to Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, for joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Jesus looked at the cross, saw the lives that would be changed, the marriages that would be saved, the churches that would be built, the sermons that would be preached, and the Father that would be glorified, and he was filled with joy, church family. He counted it as joy. Second thing, a second reason why I believe we can turn our stress into being blessed is because of the word no. You see it in verse 3. For you know that your faith is tested when your endurance has a chance to grow. For you know. See, faith is always tested. Knowing is what our text says. Literally, it means to know through experience. There is no gain in endurance without some trials. We see this in athletics. No strain, no gain. We've heard this before. God doesn't want us to be a spiritual cream puff. God doesn't desire for that. God doesn't desire for us to be spiritually flabby. It would be like someone simply saying, I want to learn, but I don't want to read. I want to be strong, but I never want to go to the gym. What is the tool that God uses in our life to build strength? What is that tool? That tool is testing. That tool brings spiritual toughness, and that, dear friends, is the key to saltiness. Spiritual toughness is the key to saltiness. Testing infused with faith and perseverance will produce mature Christians lacking in nothing. Testing references approval. Then to prove, the word appears here, and also, I want you to write this down, in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 7, that the genuineness of your faith being tested, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. You see, faith is like gold. It stands in the test of fire. Without the approved standard of faith, trials would not yield perseverance. There would be only ashes. True faith, like pure gold, endures no matter how hot the fire. True faith, therefore, develops, or more literally, works, perseveres, that staying power. The Apostle Paul put it in this way, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceedingly eternal weight of glory. You remember when God tested Joseph in the Old Testament. Joseph's brothers sold him into slavery in Egypt. Potiphar's wife betrayed him. Pharaoh's cupbearer forgot him. Still, God's plan was to bring him to the second most powerful position in all of Egypt. After their father Jacob died, Joseph's brother asked for mercy and forgiveness for their past wrongdoings to him. Joseph's inspiring response was this. Listen to Genesis chapter 50, verses 19 and 20. Do not be afraid. Am I in the place of God? You intended to harm me, but God intended it for it to be good to accomplish what is now being done to save many lives. Enduring affliction produced in Joseph the ability to see God's greater hand in the malicious intent of his brothers. God used testing in Joseph to mature him and to make him complete. So we're moving from stress to bless when we count it as joy, when we know that God is working these things in us to produce patience and maturity, lacking in nothing. But there's one more word I want us to grab a hold of in verse 4. It's one tiny little word, let. Let. A surrendered will. Listen to this. Let endurance have its maturing work. See, God cannot build our character without our cooperation. If we resist him, then he will lovingly correct us into submission. Can I tell you this, church family? If you haven't been taken to God's woodshed in a little while, if you've never been taken to God's woodshed, Hebrews 13 does exist in our Bible. God does discipline his own children with a great deal of love. It's out of love in which he disciplines us. But if you've never been disciplined by the Father, you're the neighbor's kid. He disciplines those whom he loves. Let, you see, it's a surrendered will. And he can't build our character without our cooperation. God wants a perfect work. God wants a finished product. God wants a mature and complete child. That's God's goal for our lives, that we would live lives of maturity, that we would grow in his grace and knowledge. I love my beautiful daughters, but it would be a tragedy if they always just stayed children and they never grew up. One of the greatest joys of my life right now is watching these beautiful daughters mature and grow. And I believe God smiles on us as well when we're put in that difficult season, when we're put in that testing, and it produces that faith, it produces maturity in us. I believe God smiles on our lives when we simply let him have his way with our life as a symbol of trust to him. As he is moving through our lives, we let him, dear friends, we let endurance have its maturing work in our life. So I submit to you, there must be a surrendered will. The mature person does not argue with God. Instead, he accepts it willingly and obeys him joyfully. I don't know your circumstances this morning. I don't know what you're facing today. But this I do know. God loves you. God wants to see you through this. God is for you. Who could be against you? It's God who's doing this work in you. See, it was him who started this. He'll be faithful to complete it. I want you to hear the words from your pastor to your heart today, that God loves you. He's for you. But this is what he desires of you. He does want you to count it all as joy. He does want you to know that this is going to work in your life, surrendered as you let it have its perfect work in your life. Can I ask you today, what is it that you need to surrender? What is it today, follower of Jesus, that you simply just need to let control go? You just need to drop it. You just need to let it go. You just need to surrender that to the Lord. What is it in your life? You see, our identity is not in something that we achieve. Our identity is in something that we've received from the Lord Jesus Christ. And I hope and I pray that you've received the identity of being a son and daughter of God. If you've never placed your faith and trust in Jesus, we urge you today. It's as simple as understanding that you are a sinner in need of a Savior. That because of your sin, it does bring death into our lives. Every single one of us will die. This is the truth of the gospel, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus, our Lord. I want you to understand that God demonstrated his love for you, that yet while you're a sinner, Christ died for you. And all you have to do is confess with your mouth, believe in your heart that Jesus is resurrected from the grave, and for anyone who calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. Have you ever called upon the name of the Lord? I'm speaking to Christian. Is there something you need to surrender to Jesus today? I'm speaking to those right now outside of the faith. Today, would you surrender your life to the Lord Jesus Christ and believe on him for salvation from your sin, from an eternity in hell, from the future wrath of God? Would you simply call upon him for salvation? Say, Pastor Josh, I don't know what to say. It's not about praying a perfect prayer. I say this every week. It's about praying to a perfect Jesus. It's a matter of the heart and confessing to him. Would you confess to him today? Would you admit that you're a sinner? Would you believe in your heart? Would you confess that he is Lord of your life? I want to pray for you. Just in these next few moments, would you make an altar in your home? Would you grab the hands of those who are next to you? Maybe you're watching this alone. Would you just simply bow your head with me and bow your heart with me and just pray to the Father above through the Lord Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit of God? Would you just cry out to him? Let's pray together. With every head bowed and every eye closed this morning, if you're a follower of Jesus Christ, what is it that you simply need to surrender? If you've never placed your faith and trust in Jesus, today would you do that? cry out to him. Admit that you're a sinner. Believe that Jesus came. He lived a sinless life. He died on a cross. That was your cross. He was put in a grave. That was your grave. And he resurrected 3 days later. Would you just believe in that and confess with your mouth that he is Lord of your life right now? Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray all over whoever may be hearing the sound of my voice. They wouldn't hear my voice. They hear another voice that would be from you. God, today confession would be made that you alone are Lord. There is none but you. Well, Father, for those of us who are your children, I pray we would surrender. God, I pray we would surrender our rights, our wills, our agendas. God, we lay them at your feet. Lord, thank you that you can take us from being stressed into being blessed by counting it all as joy, by knowing that you're going to use this testing for good, and that you're going to use this as we let patience have its perfect work in our life. God, we surrender it today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.